The epistle, we read where St. Paul is telling the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, that is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See? Everything has become new. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So because Jesus died and he rose again, we have been reconciled. Reconciled is taking that which has been separated and put back together again. So if somebody sues for divorce and they go to court for a divorce, the court gives a few weeks, a couple of months, until that divorce suit is made final. And in that time, they're hoping that people will become reconciled, that they will have had a chance to let their tempers settle down just a little bit, whatever had initiated this divorce, and they were able to decide that staying together is maybe the lesser of two evils, but it's better than what we were planning to do, and so that they reconcile. They have been brought back together. Bible says that our sin has separated us from God. Amen? You think about it. The Old Testament saints, when they died, couldn't go to heaven. Moses didn't go to heaven. Abraham didn't go to heaven. None of the Old Testament saints went to heaven, because God cannot have sin in his heaven. And until the blood of the Christ has been shed, the best that anybody could hope for was that their sins were covered but not taken away. And so that's why the Old Testament teaches about a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And that's where they went until Jesus Christ died. And while before he came back and presented himself alive to us, the Bible says that he descended into hell. What happened during that time? Well, one of the things was he physically beat the fire out of the devil in his own living room. Amen. You gotta love that. And then he led captivity captive. He went over to Abraham's bosom, the paradise side of the departed dead, and you had the place of torment in the departed dead, and you had the place of paradise. He went over to the place of paradise, and he led all of those people, because now the blood of Jesus has been shed, and their sins are no longer covered. They're gone. Gone. And he led captivity captive. How many? I don't know. Maybe thousands. Maybe tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But everyone who died in faith in the Old Testament is now led victorious into heaven. And I can just imagine the angels. Big brother. What's this? What are they doing here? We've been with you all this time. And now you bring these people back? You think maybe? Bible says that the angels cannot understand the plan of redemption. They don't understand it. And so, Bible doesn't tell us this, but I think maybe this parable applies even in heaven. With the angels saying, man, we've been serving you faithfully since the beginning of time, and you bring these people up here? All right. But now, because of the the sacrifice of the Christ, the Anointed One, their sins are no longer covered. They're forgiven. Amen? All right, that's one of the things that we celebrate in this Lenten season. Okay? And so if that could happen in heaven, that can happen here on earth in the church. And we need to celebrate the fact that, yes, sometimes we mess up as believers and we separate ourselves from God's blessings because God doesn't bless you in your sin. The way that He blesses you in your sin is He gives you enough rope until you basically hang yourself and get out of your sin. Amen? He's not going to reward you for being in sin, but He's going to do everything under heaven and earth to make sure you don't stay in your sin for long. Amen? And how many of you know it's not fun being in God's woodshed? Amen. Praise God. All right. For those of us who grew up in homes that had woodsheds, all right, or farms that had woodsheds, that's where you got taken when it was time for... Like I told my dad later, he talked to me, "Son, did I beat you too often? Did I spank you too often?" I said, "Dad, I got away with more stuff in your house. You could have beat me four times as much as you did, and you still, I would still be ahead." All right? No. You didn't chastise me or chasten me too often, Dad. And so, yes, when we are chastened of the Lord, it's not because He's mad at us. It's because He doesn't want us to get comfortable in our sin. And see, the younger guy, he went off, and he was enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. All right, all this high living and fancy painted women and the wines flowing and all that stuff. He was having a ball until he finds himself looking at the husks. All right. You know what husks are? When you're husking beans, all right, you get the little seed out of the outside. What do you do with you get the little seed that's in the middle. What do you do with the outside? You throw it away. They give it to the pigs. And this guy is in such despair, he's looking at this basket full of husks, and he's saying, "Man, this is looking pretty good. And, but if I eat it, then I won't give it, it won't get to the pigs." He's saying that even the other people that were feeding the other pigs, they wouldn't have pity on him and throw some husks his way. I mean, that is bad when the garbage collector won't even give you some garbage to eat. And that's where he found himself. And the Bible says that he came to his right mind. He came into his right mind. Amen? So many of us are living in our wrong mind. But that God will go ahead and make things come to pass in our lives that will move us out of our wrong side of our mind into the right side of our mind and say, "What in the love of heaven am I doing here? Why am I here?" And we might say, "Well, maybe there's chance for a little redemption." There's no chance for full sonship. There's no chance for full daughtership over here. I know I blew that with Father God. I blew it, but maybe you just let me come ahead and, like the one Samaritan said, "Lord, you know, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall on the floor. Maybe I can eat the crumbs from under my Father's table." But Father says, "We'll have none of that. Man, we've got a nice clean robe for you. We've got a fan. What does the robe mean? That means I'm clothed in righteousness." Amen. The robe of righteousness. And He's going to put a ring on His finger. That ring is the ring of royalty. It's the ring of authority. Praise God. When we come to God, He clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. Not our own righteousness, not out of works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. All our righteous work, the Bible says, are of filthy rags. Okay? And let me say this, delicately speaking, that's what was used by female folk at a certain time of the month. All right? Got it. All right? That's what our best works are. Bible says, all right? But he comes back and he puts us in, dresses us in his righteousness, gives us a ring. We have the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. When Terry and I pray, when we're praying in here, we're praying in Jesus' name. I don't have, in and of myself, I don't have any authority, but God has given me authority in Jesus' name. And when we rebuke the devil, we do that in the name of Jesus, and he's given us that authority when we've come into his kingdom. Amen? Amen. And he puts shoes on our feet. What do shoes represent? All right? Well, in we put on the full armor of God, it represents taking the message of the gospel out there. All right? So at one time, we had disqualified ourselves. When you're living in sin, it's hard to tell somebody else about Jesus. Amen. But when we come back to God, he goes ahead and puts new sandals on our feet, new shoes on our feet. So now he's given us back all the rights, all the privileges, everything of being a full son, a full daughter in God's family. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And then what else did they do? Let's kill the fatted ox. Amen. All the blessings of the family. All the blessings of the family are ours. Amen? Praise God. And it's important for us to remember, there's a saying that I've heard so many people say, but for the grace of God, there go I. Alright? And that is so true. Anything that we have is not what we have attained. Whatever we have is because of the goodness of God. Amen? And this young man, he did his best, and look where it got him. Amen? When we do our best, look out, because we're going to end up like him. You know, Terry and I used to work at a rehab facility down in Hungerford, Texas. And when we would bring in these guys, a lot of people were paroled to us from the state court system. And they were released into our custody. There you go. And so for the first set, the recovery was set up in three sections, alright? And for X amount of months you were here, for X amount of months you were here. For this first 4 months, or was it 6 months? 3 months. Okay, thank you. For the first 3 months, you were not allowed to talk to anybody. Alright? Because you had a big brother or a big sister who was assigned to you, you could talk to them, but you couldn't talk to anybody else. You know why? Okay? Because, I have things to say. Yeah, what you have to say, what you think is important, got you here. Okay? And so, yeah, no, what you have to say is not important. What the Bible has to say is what is important. And so for the first 3 months, they were put in booths at desks, and they learned and memorized the Word of God, because the Word of God will set you free. Amen? And besides that, if they had anything, you know, the first 3 months, they're not exactly, used to this very regimented lifestyle. And so, yeah, you know what? It rubs against the flesh. And I don't like this, so what are you going to do? You're going to find somebody else in the program. They're not happy about things, and so you're going to start talking to them. And before you know it, you got 5 or 6 people that leave the program because you all talk. So we fixed that. We wouldn't let you talk to each other. Okay? But that was for your own good. Amen? No, we don't care what you want. What you want got you here. Now, what you're going to have is what God lets you have. Amen. And yeah, it was a pretty strict environment, but it was great to see. We had statistically the highest level of people that were set free of any rehab facility in the United States. That's based on recidivism, coming back, whatever. 2 years out and 5 years out. Because if you go to a government rehab facility, when the Social Security runs out, you're healed. Okay? How will I know that I'm healed? The government ain't paying for you anymore. And so you be healed. All right. We kept you until God has taken care of all the rough edges. All right. And so anyhow, it was an interesting program, but all of this was to put them in the position to where God could get to them. Amen. And not let this stinking thinking that they have learned to live with cloud what God is doing. Well, this isn't fair. Well, you talking to other people and getting six people discouraged and the whole bunch of you leaving the program and ended up back in prison, that's not fair either. And so, God has put us in a place, and this church is a place where we can come and God can get our attention. And sometimes the pastor has to get up here and preach some hard messages, but it's not because I'm mad at you, it's because this is what God wants for you. But I want you to see this, okay? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. All that we have is because of what God has done. And so, in this coming year, I expect to see different faces in here, because we're trying to initiate some programs. They're going to touch some of our neighbors. All right? And so when they come in, we're going to have to make sure that we don't let our flesh have an impact on their life. Because as believers, we have a blessing and we have a curse. We walk in the Spirit, but we also walk in this world. And as long as we're walking in this world, if we're not careful, that flesh can reach out and trip us up every time. And every time we decide to do something according to the flesh, well, this seems fair to me. Fair is not in the Word of God. Fair is the devil's lie. That's what Satan used against Eve. Well, it's not fair that you're not like gods, knowing the difference between good and evil. What's fair is that you eat this apple. Then that'll be fair. You'll be like God. See, fair is a fleshly construct. You want what's fair according to God's eyes? No, you don't. Because all we deserve according to God's eyes is judgment. But he has decided to reach out and minister to us, treat us with grace and with mercy. Amen. And because he treats me that way, I have to treat you that way. Because everything we have, we share because God has given us. Amen? And so because we're sharing it this way, even though there may be a rascal or two in this room, me being one of them, okay, there just may be one other rascal around here that just every once in a while, you know what frustration is? Huh? You? God bless my little wife. Frustration is knowing what a person needs most is a good choking. But you'll end up in jail if you do it. That's frustration, okay? Because that's the flesh, okay? So we don't do what we think is fair. We do what the Holy Spirit has already given us. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us mercy. He's given us grace. Amen? And that's what we need to walk in. And the devil will come along and he will tell you all these different things. That you are not worthy. That you don't deserve this. But you know what? We're not in ourselves. But because Jesus has already died for us, amen, because we have made Jesus our Savior, who is, let me see, he has reconciled the world to himself. not counting their trespasses against them. He's reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses. This is what God has already done. If God is saying, I'm not going to let their trespasses come between them and my salvation, then what right do we have? Amen. And for some of you who, like myself, might be kind of introspective and we bring a lot of judgment upon ourselves, self-condemnation, we have to understand, since God has already reconciled me or you to himself, what right do I have to say I'm not worthy? Oops. Oops. He has already reconciled you to himself by the blood of Jesus. What right do you have to say you're not worthy? That's telling God what you have done isn't good enough. Amen? So you don't let the devil play that game with you. I am not worthy. Without Christ, none of us are worthy. But he's already done. He's already. It happened 2,000 years ago. It was put into effect when we opened up our mouth and confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. That reconciliation was then applied. It was purchased, provided in full 2,000 years ago. Now we have appropriated it personally when we made Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen? When we accepted the finished work of Jesus in our lives, still not of works of righteousness that I've done, but according to his mercy, he saved me. He saved you. Amen? And therefore, my poor mama, English major, University of Michigan, ain't nobody in this room not worthy, because Jesus has already made us worthy in him. So when the devil comes along and tries telling you this story, well, you really messed up this time. God can never forgive you for this. Amen. You tell, hey, homie, don't play that game. That doesn't happen. I know what the Bible says. I know that like King David, I might be somebody that messes up time and time again, but God looked at King David and says, there's a man after my heart. And he might mess up big time, but boy, David knew how to repent. Amen. He knew how to come crying back to God, because he knew what it meant when he lost that fellowship through his own sin. He didn't like it. He didn't like that loss of fellowship, and so he would come back. And that's why God said that David was a man after his own heart. Not that David was perfect. No, David was a whole bunch like the rest of us. Alright? Messing up at every occasion. He was a rotten husband. He was a rotten father. He was a rotten man. He was a rotten king. But he knew where to go when he wanted to repent of his sins. Amen? All right. So don't listen to the devil. Don't let him whisper in your ear. God has redeemed you. Not you. You only need to ask forgiveness, and it's yours. You know, as we're in this Lenten season, there is a time, and we'll be celebrating this in the next couple of weeks, where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And so Jesus is there. He takes off his outer garment, and they would have a way. I have to bring a lungi, one of my lungis here, and show you how they do that. But they would gird up their gown so that they could get down and kneel and stuff like that, and that's what Jesus did. And he's washing the disciples' feet. And he gets to Peter. And Peter gets all sorts of self-righteous with Jesus. Oh, no, Lord, I will never let you wash my feet. Okay? And Jesus, he's just so cool. He looks up to Peter and says, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you're no part of me. Well, Peter's mouth drops down. Eyes open up. What? Then give me a bath. That's what he said. Cleanse me all over. If washing your feet has something to do with being part of you, give me a bath. And Jesus said, it's not necessary. You're already mine. We just got some dirt from this world on your feet that needs to be taken care of. And so I'm washing that dirt away. It's not you're getting saved again. You're already saved, but in walking through this life, you picked up some dirt. Amen? And that's why in Ephesians, if we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? And so, get out there. You're living in this world. You pick up some of that dust. All it takes is a Father, I'm sorry, I picked up some of this dust. Kind of participated a little bit where I shouldn't have been participating. I call that sin and I ask you to forgive me. And that's it. Just like Peter, your feet are washed and now you're back on the straight and narrow. Amen. Folks, you need to understand, God is looking for a reason, an excuse to love you. He's looking for an excuse to bless you. He's looking for any excuse to draw you in and to love you and fellowship with you. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's not looking for an excuse, like I thought when I was an acolyte in the church, hit me over a head and send me to hell because I walked up into His living room with sin in my life. No, that's not what He is. He's a loving God. He wants to just draw us to Himself. And so many of us have this attitude, I dare not mess up. I dare not mess up. I dare not mess up. If I do, then God's going to get me. In closing, I will tell you this little story. When our daughter and her family lived out in San Felipe, they had a few acres of land out there. And their oldest daughter, she's Elizabeth, the one that you hear us talking about and praying for, she was a little tomboy. And she wanted a go-kart. And so her daddy and I made her a go-kart. And she figured out within the first 5 minutes how to get rid of that governor on that go-kart. And she had one speed. Started up and the right foot goes all the way till it don't go no more. And they had a little two-track road for the driveway there. And she would come tearing across that field and hit that road and wham! Up in the air she goes. Dirt and dust flying everywhere. Boom! She'd hit and off she goes. She was a little daredevil. The only, 5 or 6 year old, how old was she? 5 year old girl that I ever heard walk into the house, totally disgusted, throws her helmet on the floor and says, blew another engine, Dad. Blew another engine. You take the governor off and run that thing full blast, you're going to blow an engine. That's the one thing we kept putting on those go-karts is bigger engines. And she was just, but the one thing, okay, there was this tree in the middle of the property. And so one day, I don't know what came over me, just trying to be a protective grandfather. I said, Elizabeth, just watch out for that tree. Stay away from that tree. There's not another tree on the property. You're not going to get... Just watch that tree. What did she do? Poof! Hit the tree. I told her, watch out for that tree. And that's all she could think about was that tree. And hit that tree doing 30 miles an hour. Man, just took the whole front end of that go-kart and bent it in about a foot. And what a mess. But see, she was so focused on not messing up, she messed up. All right? You don't need to go through life focused on not messing up. You just keep your eye on Jesus. And then you won't mess up. If you're focused on sin, and oh my, I can't do this. Oh my, I better not do that. Oh Lord, don't let me, you know, then it's going to get you. All right? That's not a life. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If all you can do is think about not committing sin, now you've enslaved yourself. And you're not free. So you just worry about serving God. Amen. And the Bible says, flee the very appearance of evil. If you find yourself in a situation that you know you ought not to be, take two legs and head that way. Okay? That's good enough. But if all you're thinking is, well, you know, here's this sin, here's that sin, go here, that's going to happen, you're going to fail. And that's not freedom, folks. Freedom is found in Jesus. Amen? So in this Lenten season, which is just Old English for springtime, it's not even Latin. Latin for, you know, the time of, you know, Christ's preparation for the... No, it's just Old English for springtime. But in this Lenten season, where we are gearing up for God's most perfect sacrifice. Amen? Amen? Don't enslave yourself. Don't sell God short of what He's able to do. Because if we do mess up, He's not interested in bringing you back as a servant. He's not interested in bringing you back as a second-class citizen. But just like the son and the father and the prodigal son, Father just wants to bring you back into His family. Amen. And He will bless you all over again. And there might be another brother or sister in Christ that says, well, that's not fair. I never fell into that sin. And this person, she bought that terrible sin. It comes back and, oh, God forgives her. You know, and now she's got the same blessings as I do. Yeah. That's how it is. Let's not be like the older brother and the prodigal son, where we sit there and we're condemning others because, well, they were in sin. They blew all the money. They blew all of this. And now Father just welcomes them back. Yes, praise God. Because He welcomes us back too. He's welcomed me back a bunch of times. Amen. Father God, thank You.